Let's try that one more time. Say word. Very good. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Luke 23. Luke 23. And next week we have a surprise for you. So, happy Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. Just remember, I got to do something before I get home. Hold a little flower stand on the side of the road or something. Now, my wife and I actually, we celebrated 2 days ago because we knew today was going to be busy. So, happy Valentine's Day, baby. next week we have a surprise for you, a service we've never done. And so, we're confident it's going to be a big blessing to you. So, bring a friend, especially bring a friend next week. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your goodness. And we pray that you encourage us. I pray, Lord, today as we talk about pain, that you would relieve somebody of their pain. We all carry something at some level all the time. But sometimes that pain seems like it's going to kill us. It's going to crush us, destroy us, even separate us from the love of God. But none of that has to be true. And we thank you that you have given us provision, words of encouragement to remind us you will always get us through. I pray you bless us today. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a story in chapter 18 of the book about a young man named Elisha who is now 9 years old, but when he was 7, he was at school and on the playground at lunchtime, these kids were going to start the cool club for only the cool kids. So him, obviously thinking he's cool, wants to join. And he actually is a cool kid, but these kids didn't think he was, so they told him he couldn't be in the cool club. So he came home, he was discouraged because he got rejected, and you know, he's all bummed out. But the next day, he decided, you know, I'm going to start my own club. It's going to be called the Bible Club, and everybody's invited. So he went out to the playground and said, hey, everybody, I'm starting the Bible Club, and anybody can come. So that was 2 years ago. He has had the Bible Club that year, last year, and he's doing it again this year. And he has about 30 kids, sometimes 20, sometimes 50 kids that will come to this Bible Club at lunchtime on the playground. He'll sit on the lunch table and do Bible study. He has arts and crafts. Sometimes he'll use a bullhorn talking to them. And he'll have them get saved. And they'll stand up and go, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. And then sometimes he'll stand after the Bible Club and he'll pray for kids. And they'll stand in line. And he'll take both the hands and say, what can I pray for? And they're like, I mean, these are like 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds, right? And they'll say, well, my grandmother's dying. Can you pray she has cancer? My daddy needs a job. We're going to lose our house. You know, just one after another. And he comes home and he flops on the bed going, Mom, the kids in my school got problems. Because it's draining. It's very draining. Matter of fact, they were in class one day and they said, you know, what does God look like? And they said, and they pointed to Elijah. He's like him, you know. So he's a little man of God. But what happened was when he got rejected by the cool club, he had a decision to make. Do I let that define who I am? Or do I understand who God has already defined me to be? And we are all going to experience pain all our life. As a matter of fact, you may even die in pain, like Jesus. So you're going to have pain all your life, and you're not going to get away with it. But the question is, how do you deal with it? And what we're going to learn today is that how you deal with pain is going to be largely determined by how you view who you are. If you view yourself as the devil views you, pain will destroy you. But if you view yourself as God views you, you will convert pain into power. Now, we're in week 4 of a 6-week series called Do Something. Everybody say, Do Something. Week 1, we saw that God has a plan to do something, and the plan has 5 parts. That's 6 messages. We call it the 5 P's. Everyone give me a hand of 5. Say 5. The 5 P's. These are the 5 words that start with the letter P, and these 5 words that start with the letter P are God's plan of our spiritual journey, just like taking a journey in a car. The first P is preparation. is that we have all been prepared to do something great with our life. And by the way, we've been also prepared to deal with pain. The second P is purpose, that all of us have one single purpose in our life, and that's to obey the Father. So everything you do is simply to obey. That's it. It's never not that. The third P is pain. We're going to talk about pain today. Pain doesn't only have to hurt, though. The fourth P is power. Next week, we're going to talk about power. And power is God's supernatural enabling you to do something. And the fifth P is passion, your commitment to never quit. That means when the going gets tough, you keep going. Thank God Jesus didn't quit on us. Because he had a whole lot of times he could have quit when they whipped him. Oh, man, I ain't doing that. When they stuck thorns in his head, when they beat him, when they pulled his beard out, when Peter denied him, when Judas betrayed him, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He could have quit. He never did. And if you're going to do something powerful with your life, something great with your life, which I assume all you want to do, you're going to have to push through hard times. Anybody you see accomplish anything worth anything had to push through hard times. They had to. Just there's no other way. Nothing comes easy that's going to last anyway. And so today we're going to talk about pain. And when you talk about pain, one of the first things you have to do is decide what pain really is and then who you are. But first, let's look at chapter 23 of Luke. Chapter 23 of Luke. This is a very simple one verse. Jesus had lived 33 years. He had a three-year ministry, the last 3 years of his life. He healed the unhealable. He loved the unlovable. He forgave the unforgivable. He outsmarted the religious leaders. Then he was turned in and betrayed by all the people he came to die for. His own people said, crucify him, kill him, and let go another criminal. His own disciples denied him and betrayed him. And here he is. He's been beat, beard pulled out, back whipped, thorns in his head, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he's being crucified, nailed to a tree. And look what it says in verse 34. Verse 34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Now, how could, after going through all of that, he is right. He's never sinned. He doesn't deserve anything he's getting. And yet he says, Father, forgive them. Now, first let me put in a little context for you and me. Whenever we suffer, we deserve more than we get. Whenever we suffer, we deserve more than we get. Now, let me explain it. Because we're sinners and we can't forgive ourselves and cleanse ourselves, we deserve to die and go to hell. The penalty of sin is death, eternal separation from God. So if anything short of death in hell is a good deal, that's a good deal. Now, you may not think it's a good deal today, but you will when you get through and be in heaven. Matter of fact, how many of y'all women in here had a baby before? Okay, any guys in here have a baby? Okay. We call Oprah if you have. We're going to get over. And ladies, when you have a baby, depending on how much your labor was, all labor is painful, some more than others. But when you go through labor, how many of y'all, when you were in the midst of labor, felt like killing your husband? I mean, it was like, this is like the worst pain in the world. And then as soon as the baby come out, you're like, I want to have another one. But during it, you're like demon possessed, you know, cursing people out, squeezing your husband's hands till his fingers have got no circulation, you know, telling the doctor to give you drugs, all this kind of stuff you're saying. And then when the baby comes out, oh, I want to have another, honey, let's do another one. You're like, your husband's like, you're out of your mind. Okay, you're crazy. The Bible says that's what life is like. That you're going to go through life like in labor and then to heaven. And it's like it never happened. And so Jesus is here. But Jesus is on the cross. He's on the cross. He's being crucified, literally. Not crucified in the media, crucified. And he says, you know what, God? It's good. I'm good. Why? Because he knew who he was. He knew this was part of who he was. He knew that this suffering was part of him fulfilling his identity in God. And he also knew because of who he was, it would pass. Because of who he was, he would be honored. Because of who he was, it was going to end, and he would forget about it. How you deal with your pain is going to be determined by who are you? Who are you? Now, what is pain? Pain is when something happens you don't like. Bottom line. You know, pain could be physical pain. There's a whole bunch of physical pains. Pain could be emotional, mental. You're stressed. You're depressed. Pain could be something gets taken from you. Your car gets stolen. Pain can be also bad smells. We're going to talk about in a minute. But when I say bad smells, I mean things that we want to stay away from. We could say is painful situations. And the reason I want to lump all that together. For some of you, pain may be hard work. Because there are some people who are what I call drama magnets. Are you following me? In other words, everything is the end of the world. Oh, it's sunny out. I don't see any clouds. We're going to have a drought. A sunny day is the beginning of a drought. Oh, it's raining. Oh, Katrina. You remember Katrina? Oh, don't laugh too hard. Your stomach, you may bust a muscle in your stomach. You don't want to be too happy because you know sad days are coming. How many of y'all know people like that? Don't raise your hand. Everyone say, don't raise your hand. But how many of you are that guy? It depends on how you see yourself. If you see yourself as the devil, or if you see yourself as a victim, you will always look for opportunities to be victimized. Someone's picking on me. They always come after me. Or you sit around waiting for someone to get you. And as soon as anything close to someone not doing what's perfectly to your benefit happens, you assume they're after you. Because the devil's got you trained. There was this parrot in a grocery store. And he was by the front door of the grocery store. And every day this lady would come to work, to the grocery store shop. She'd do her shopping, and she'd walk out of the grocery store. The parrot would say, stupid lady, stupid lady. And she's like, she'd leave. And she'd come back next week, shop again, walk by the parrot, stupid lady, stupid lady. And she's like, so that happened like all the time. Stupid lady, stupid lady. So she finally got tired of it. She went to the manager and said, listen, manager, I spend money here. I live right on the street. I don't want to go shopping across town. But I don't feel I should be called stupid lady by that parrot. Oh, she said, oh, the parrot manager said, I'm sorry, ma'am. We've had some other complaints. I'll make sure I deal with the parrot. It won't happen again. She said, okay, because I'm not going to come back here anymore. Okay, we'll deal with the parrot. So a week later, she comes shopping, and all she's thinking about is that parrot. What's that parrot going to say? So she does all the shopping, goes through the line, pays the money, and she starts walking up to the parrot, and as she gets to the parrot, she looks at the parrot, and the parrot goes, you know. The devil has some of us so trained that he don't even have to say it anymore. He said, you know, hard times are coming, and it's going to crush you again. And you walk around paranoid thinking about it because you have accepted you are a loser. You're a victim. You're powerless. You're a failure. And if that's who you are, you will be preoccupied with being victimized, losing, or living to avoid it, and you will never do what God calls you to do because you're preoccupied with the wrong thing. But if you see yourself as God's child, a conqueror, a victor, a saint, forgiven, eternally forgiven, then you're going to look at all that stuff very different. And if you see yourself as completely prepared to deal with anything God throws your way, you will look at all that stuff completely different. So we're going to look at four titles God has given you and what those four titles say about how we need to experience pain. Look at number one in your notes. Number one of your notes. Matter of fact, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, the writer is referring to believers as sons of God, and we're going to call it children. Sons, daughters, children. He's talking about how a father chastens his son or child. And so then one of your notes says, as God's children, pain produces righteousness in our lives. If you are a child of God, one of the ways you should look at pain as a means of purification. If you are a child of God and God has accepted you, forgiven you, he loves you, he will never let anything filter through his hands that will destroy you. He will never let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. If all those things are true, then you don't have to worry that pain will destroy you. You should in turn say, God, how do you want me to learn from this? Look what it says in verse 11. Verse 11 says, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. While it's happening, it is painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness. Everyone say righteousness. To those who have been trained by it. In other words, when you go through a painful situation, if you're saying, well, I'm a victim and I'm a loser, you have nothing but fear about how is it going to destroy your life. But if you are a child of God, you say, wait a minute, God's my father. I don't live under circumstance, I live under God's grace. God loves me. God wants to use me. God has a plan for my life. God has prepared me for everything he would ever throw my way or the devil would ever throw my way. If I'm a child of God, one of the things I need to be asking God, what do you want me to learn from this? One of the negative things that it's not painful necessarily, but it can be, are bad smells. Now, this is not, you know, girls love girly smells and perfume. Guys, when we're kids, at least, guys, we always like to smell nasty stuff. Fellas, you remember being, you know, smell this. My son the other day, he was like, hey, dad, smell this. I was like, I don't want to smell that nastiness. I don't know if y'all remember that. Any fellas can back me up here? Say amen. Okay, thank you. Phew, thank you. We're nasty. Okay, guys are nasty. We like nasty stuff sometimes. So yesterday, I was trying to think of all the bad smells that are just between our head and feet. Not outside our body, just our body. All the bad smells we have in our body. Nasty hair. That little nastiness behind your ear. Ew. Don't go home and rub it and smell it. Don't do that. It's nasty. Ew. Say amen if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, some of y'all are like, yeah, I ain't gonna say. Bad breath. Arms. Body odor. Can I get an amen? Some people just, this is funky. There was a guy on our team with the Chargers. He was funky walking out of the shower. I'm not lying. I'm walking behind him going, man, did you just come out of the water? Bad smells from our waist, nasty. Funky feet, nasty. What's the point? Because all this bad smells, one, why do we all agree that all those things 100% of the time are bad? How do we know that? God just warned us. These are the kind of things, smells you want to avoid. How do we know that? God just, he programmed it in. These are the kind of smells that are pleasant. And so God is going to have us go through experiences, and the pain that we experience from the experience is going to teach us what to avoid. When you feel this, you know you don't want to do this. And if you're going through something painful right now, trust me, God can, not that God did it, but God can use it in many ways in your life, but one of those ways is to teach you what to avoid. You, it may be, avoid that person altogether. They are no good. Some of y'all have people in your life that they will never, ever, ever be good for you. They've hurt you, or led you into bad times over and over again, and you keep thinking it's going to change, and guess what? It ain't going to change. Or it's not going to change by you. You need to go. You need to get away from them. And the people around you will look at you going, why? And you're dragging them into it. So whether it be other people, whether it be your own behavior, but pain can, as the Bible says, the pain can nurture righteousness in your life if you are trained by it. That means if you learn the lesson it's trying to teach you. And some of you are going through the same painful situation for the umpteenth time because you haven't learned the lesson. It's nobody's fault but yours. But if you say, God, I want to learn, teach me. God will open your eyes and teach you. Or go ask somebody. And by the way, the people in your life, they know. They can tell you right now the lesson. You just need to hear it. Number two, as conquerors, we are confident that nothing can snatch us from God's hand. When you write the word snatch, I want you to write a circle around it and then put a line through it. Okay? Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 35. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. Everyone say conquerors. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what this says? If I am a conqueror, everyone say conqueror, then nothing, not nothing created, or even things that haven't been created yet, can separate you from God. What are you going through right now? Guess what? You should look at that trial and say, not even you can separate from the love of God. You're a conqueror. If you're a conqueror, you have nothing to worry about. In the end, you win. In the end, you're with God. In the end, all God's promises that he made to you come true. It's over. What the devil's telling you now is this is the end. I'm going to destroy you. I'm never going to leave you. You're never going to be happy. You're never going to be fulfilled. Your dreams are never going to come true. And what you need to say back to him is like, wait, I'm a conqueror. All the stuff you're telling me, it don't matter. I'm victorious. I don't live under circumstance. I live under grace. I don't have to worry about you. Because I'll bet you, everybody, as a matter of fact, I'm going to do a little poll. How many of you in here will say you have learned something profound from your pain? Okay, watch this. How many of you in here have learned something very profound from pleasure? Holly, nobody. I don't see any hands. How many of you in here have been through something very painful, and when it was happening, you hated it, but now looking back, you're so glad it happened? Mm-hmm. You know what God says? If you're a conqueror, if you're my child, that's the perspective you can have in the midst of your pain. While it's happening, you can say, I'm learning something from this. God is making me stronger right now. God is going to get me through. Look at number three in your notes. As God's beloved, we share in Christ's glory when we suffer. We share in Christ's glory when we suffer. 1 Peter, towards the back, about seven books towards the back. 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter 4 says, Beloved, everyone say beloved. Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, 4:12. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing is happening. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you also may be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. on their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. Don't think it an odd thing that you, a Christian living in Southern California, is going through problems. Me? Someone once said, if the devil's not fighting against you, he's probably walking with you. He's got you right by the hand saying, yeah, let's go. We'll go to church. Come on. Don't bring your Bible. Sit in the back. And then say word. Okay. The devil can have you do this thing, stuff, by the way. Jesus. Okay. Say Jesus. Don't raise your hand because you don't have a pen. Okay. Let's come on. Go home. Go right to your car. Now, we'll be back in about a month. Then a month, come on back. Oh, don't put money in there. Just put your empty hand. Then no one's going to know. Just go ahead and eat it. Okay. Now you say word. Do it again. Okay. Then you're going to go to work. Don't bring your Bible to work. Oh, God, pray for that. Oh, no, you don't want to pray for that person. You know, people think you're a religious fanatic. Okay, come over here. Sit down at your desk. Do your work. Okay. Oh, yeah, they're having problems over here. Go the other way. You don't want other people's problems. Let's go over here. And God, you walk around, and you know what the devil tells you? As long as you do what I say, I won't bother you. And you go, okay. I don't want to put myself out there. I just want to be safe. I don't want to cause any problems for myself. I don't want to put myself in a position where I have to do something or be scared or nervous or over my head, which is what the Bible calls walking by faith, by the way. I just want to be safe. And the devil says, you do that and you won't have any problems. He's lying to you. He's lying to you. Your biggest problem is going to stand before God. In the least, that's going to be one of your problems. And who knows how God is going to deal with you and beat the devil off you. And what he might do to beat the devil off you is have you get led into some big drama by the devil where you finally realize following him is not in your best interest. And so, you know, I was watching this Celebrity Rehab. I don't know. I think that's called. They got this. You know, anybody see? Is that what it's called? Celebrity Rehab? And they got cameras in the Celebrity Rehab. Dr. Drew, he's got all these celebrities and they're going through rehab. They're jacked up. Think about it. They call it Celebrity Rehab, but in reality, it's just people who are jacked up. Now, I'm not saying they're jacked up like it's a bad thing. They're addicted like a regular addicted person. There's no difference. And when you watch the show, you're seeing people who are celebrities go through exactly the same thing non-celebrities go through, except everybody knows their problem. So it's even worse. And you see them, they're duped by the devil. They've been duped. And at some point in your life, you have to realize, you know what, I can't do this. Someone's misleading me. And so sometimes your pain is from your own sin. Sometimes the pain is the devil just attacking you, by the way. And the devil can attack you simply because you're a threat to him. My son sent me this text the other day. And it says something like, you want to be the type of person that when you wake up and your feet touch the floor in the morning, the devil says, man, they're up again. How many of y'all want to be that person? Okay. You want to be a threat to the devil. And the only thing you got to be a threat to the devil, all that means is that you're obedient to God and you're not worshiping him. That's all that means. You don't have to be, you know, have this big worldwide ministry. You just have to be a person that's going to obey God. Simple. That's it. I had several months, for March, April, May, 3 months after we started this church 10 years ago, 3 months after we started the church, I had to have surgery on my throat. And I had both my thyroid glands, they had grown to the size of my fist, each one. So I had to take them out. I had to have them taken out. So I asked the doctor, what is the worst thing that can happen? You know, let's get to the bottom line. If I need to be concerned about anything. He said, well, yeah, we do this all the time. It's just routine, no problem. I said, doc, what does routine mean? What's the worst that can happen? He says, well, the worst thing that can happen is you can lose your voice. I said, well, how is that going to happen? He says, because the nerve that goes to your voice box, actually there's two of them, they can get cut. I was like, oh, that can't happen, doc. That's my whole life. So I got a video of the surgery because I wanted to see it. And I actually got a video, not of my surgery, of what it looks like so I knew what they were going to do to me. So I went and got a video and saw them cut the guy's neck, take thing out. And they actually said, here's, I think it's called laryngeal nerve. And there's a superior laryngeal, and I think there's another, I can't remember the other one. And it's just like two little wires, and they took the knife and said, yeah, this is the voice box. If that gets cut, you lose your voice. I don't know, I think fix it, whatever. Your voice is all jacked up. So I guarantee you, this is just my opinion means what? I guarantee you that when they put me under and went, which I have a scar right here on my neck, big long scar, cut, open this up, that the devil had a staff meeting. Can I get amen? And he said, look, devils, demons, when that brother is under the knife, make sure that nerve gets cut. I don't care how you do it. Hit the doctor's arm, make the lights go out, he'll miss what he's cutting out. Make sure he has an argument with his wife the night before and he's all mad when he's doing surgery, takes it out on Miles. Something, you want to make sure that thing gets cut because I don't want that brother talking the next day. Y'all believe me? Oh, that you know that happened. And the demon said, we'll do it. The only problem is I got angels. You got angels, right? They were like, hey, back up, back up, back up, back up, back up, back up. So when you're suffering, just know God got your back. Well, why does it hurt? A whole lot of reasons. He's trying to teach you something. Trying to make you strong. Trying to purify you. Teach you what to stay away from. Get you to trust him more. All good stuff that you already confessed that comes from pain. Stop thinking it's the end of your life. Even if you die, you go to heaven. So what's the catch? The catch is that get from it what God wants you to get from it. Remember who you are. Number four, this is the last one. As a saint, you are comforted so you can comfort others. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You are comforted that you may comfort. In other words, you are going to go through pain because you are a saint. God is going to comfort you and get you through so you can comfort somebody else. Look what it says in verse 3. Oh, by the way, you're going to read the word comfort or comforted or comforted or comforter 5 times in 2 verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies, and God of what? Comfort. Say comfort. Who comforts, say comforts. Who comforts us in our tribulation that we may be able to what? Comfort those who are in any trouble with the same what? With which we have received ourselves are comforted by. Say comforted. Basically, you're going to go through pain as a conqueror, as a beloved, as a child of God, as everything God calls you, and he's going to comfort you. And you take that comfort, and he's saying, ho, don't throw it away. Don't put it in your pocket. Don't put it in your drawer. Give it away. Give it away. That means you need to know what God has done in your life. There are people in your world who have been through or going through the same thing you went through. And God wants to use the comfort he gave you to give to them, even while you're going through it. As a matter of fact, if you really want to learn what you're going through and learn what God's trying to teach you, articulate it with your mouth. Say it. I am going through such and such, and God is teaching me such and such. And God, and the more you say it, the more clear it will be, the more you'll learn, and by the way, the more victorious you will be. It will be therapy to you. And then when you run into someone who's going through what you went through, guess what? You can articulate it. This is what God taught me. This is what God told me. This is what God showed me. This is what God did for me. And this is what God may be able to do for you. So all of us in here, because we're sinners, we are going to go through painful situations. And God is saying, I don't want you to experience those painful situations as a victim. I don't want you to experience them as a loser or failure or all the names the devil puts on you. And there's a whole bunch of them. I want you to go through those experiences as my child, as my beloved, as a saint, as a conqueror, as a victor. as a forgiven person, a forgiven son, a forgiven daughter. I want to take you through those with your spiritual armor on so you can get through. But the only way he can do that is if you give your life to him, if you give your burden to him. And by the way, some of you have prayed to ask Christ, you're trying to carry the burden yourself without Jesus. I mean, you may think about Christ, you may come to church, but you're not really casting your cares on him. So we're going to pray in a minute, and you're going to have an opportunity to say, Lord, I want to be one of those people that goes through pain with power. I want to be one of your people that goes through pain with victory and peace and strength, your strength. And, or, there's some of you in here who got pain. We want you to come give it to God. We want to pray with you today. Don't walk out of here with it. Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much that you love us. Thank you so much that you care for us. Lord, you were a man of many sorrows. You understand pain. We know that. You understand how to encourage us in our pain. We know that. But it does us no good if we don't cast it on your shoulders. It does us no good if we try to deal with it ourselves. If today is your day to surrender your pain, your unforgiven sin, your burden, your stress, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I'm hurting. I'm a sinner. I need you. I know you love me. I know you have a plan for my life. And I know you have the strength to get me through anything I encounter. Jesus, please forgive me for not trusting you, for not casting my cares on you. Please forgive me of my sin. I want to be a conqueror. I want to be a child of God. I want to be one of your saints. I want to be someone you call beloved. I surrender my life and my pain and my burden into your hand. As all of our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand, and by standing, you are acknowledging Christ's forgiveness in your life, his encouragement in your life. You may have a burden you want to receive prayer for. Just stand to your feet now and acknowledge God's love in your life. God bless you. Stand to your feet. God bless you. 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 God bless you.